Good morning, church.
Good morning,
church. The Lord is good and all the time. On behalf of my humble self and our congregation here in Newport-on-Tay, I would like to welcome all of you to this special service of Holy Communion. Special welcome to those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. Most of us are in our Sunday best this morning because it's Communion Sunday. And I was just telling the elders that on Communion Sundays, I'm a little bit nervous because they look so special in Scotland. In Cameroon, my home country, we do Communion at least 12 times a year. So this is a very special and also sacred day. So welcome. And welcome also to our brothers and sisters who are on Zoom and those who will be listening and enjoying our worship service afterwards from the church's website. Can I ask the congregation during the week to pray for us as we seek out to select a candidate to fill in the office of the youth worker. We have three candidates and we'll be interviewing them next weekend. So please say a prayer for that exercise when we engage with these candidates. During communion, we will also have gluten-free bread and also non-alcoholic wine. So please, there is a choice to make. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first hymn 410, Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you in worship, bringing our frailty and our hope. We know how brief and uncertain life can feel, yet you are the one who holds us and gives promise beyond what we see. In Jesus Christ, you remind us that sorrow does not last forever and that joy will come in your time. Draw near to us as we draw near to you. Prepare our hearts for this table and renew us by your grace. Merciful God, we confess that we often lose heart and struggle to trust your purposes. We focus on what is passing and forget your promise of new life. We cling to fear instead of hope and turn inward rather than to you. Forgive us, we pray, and in silence we bring before you our own sins. Renew us by your mercy, lift our hearts and lead us again in the way of Christ. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's worship God again. 3, 6, 4. All glory, Lord, and honor.
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Job, Job chapter 14, reading verses 1 to 15. Page 519 in the Pew Bibles, if you wish to follow, or on the overhead behind me. Job chapter 14, starting at the beginning. And Job is speaking to God. Man born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He springs up like a flower and withers away. Like a fleeting shadow, he does not endure. Do you fix your eyes on such a one? Will you bring him before you for judgment? Who can bring what is pure from the impure? No one. Man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. So look away from him and let him alone till he has put his time like a hired man. At least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump may die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and put forth shoots like a plant. But man dies and is laid low. He breathes his last and is no more. As the water disappears from the sea, or a riverbed becomes parched and dry, so man lies down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, men will not awake or be roused from their sleep. If only you would hide me in the grave and conceal me till your anger has passed. If only you would set me a time and then remember me. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my hard service, I will wait for my renewal to come. You will call and I will answer you. You will long for the creature your hands have made. And our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of John, John chapter 16, reading from verses 16 to 23, page 1084. John chapter 16, verse 16. Jesus said, "In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me." Some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? And, 'Because I am going to the Father.'" They kept asking, "What does he mean by 'a little while'? We don't understand what he is saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything." Amen. Now thanks to God for these readings from his holy word. Our next hymn this morning, hymn 153, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, as we come to your word this morning, we do not come as those who have all the answers, but as those who are seeking light, truth, and life. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds to understand the scriptures, open our hearts to receive your promises, and open our lives to be shaped by your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me reflect with you this morning on the theme, Joy After Sorrow. The table, the tears, and the triumph. Dear brothers and sisters, there is something about Communion Sunday that is both sacred and, if we are honest, just a wee bit comical. We gather with reverence, of course, but also with that quiet, unspoken hope that we would manage the trays, the cups, and the timing without any great calamity. It's a bit like a well-rehearsed ceilidh. Everyone knows roughly what to do, but there is always the chance someone steps the wrong way or misses the beat, and yet somehow it all comes back together. And in that simple shared act, something deeply profound is proclaimed. Here at this table, sorrow and joy meet. That is precisely where our Lord leads us in John 16. And as I mentioned before, our theme today is joy after sorrow. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaks words that at first hearing seem almost puzzling. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. It sounds more like a riddle than a sermon. Not quite the straightforward clarity we might expect. Yet within these mysterious words lies a truth that reaches into the very heart of the Christian life. Sorrow is real, deeply real, but it is never the final word. To understand what Jesus is saying, we must picture the scene. He is in the upper room with his disciples on the night before his crucifixion. The air is heavy with unspoken fear. He has already told them of betrayal, denial, and departure. Their world, as they know it, is about to unravel. They are confused, unsettled, and grasping for understanding. And they are not alone in that confusion. When the Gospel of John was written, it was addressed to a church already acquainted with suffering. Early Christians faced opposition, uncertainty, and at times persecution. For them, these words of Jesus were not abstract theology, they were lifelines. You will weep and lament, but your sorrow will turn into joy. That was not merely a promise, it was a necessity for endurance. Even the disciples themselves admit, we do not know what he is talking about. And friends, there is something refreshingly honest in that, is there not? It echoes our own experience. There are seasons when God's ways are not clear to us, when his timing feels obscure, and when his purposes seem hidden. Yet Jesus was not speaking to confuse them, but to prepare them. He was pointing gently but unmistakably toward his death and his resurrection, though they could not yet grasp the full meaning. And later, when the cross had done its worst and the tomb stood empty, everything changed. The confusion gave way to clarity, the despair to hope, and the sorrow to joy. Not a fleeting happiness, but a deep, settled, unshakable joy rooted in the victory of Christ. Jesus' phrase, a little while, carries great weight. For the disciples, it would encompass those dark hours between crucifixion and resurrection. For us, it stretches across all the trials of life. What feels long and heavy now is, in the light of eternity, but a moment. And that is one of the great challenges we face as Christians today. We live in an age that demands immediacy, quick answers, instant relief, and visible results. But faith calls us to something quite different. It calls us to trust in what we cannot yet see, to hold fast in the little while. The resurrection of Jesus teaches us that future hope brings present joy, not because our circumstances are easy, but because our destiny is secure. We know how the story ends. Our citizenship is not anchored in this passing world, but in the kingdom of heaven. And that future reality reshapes how we endure present sorrows. Yet Jesus does not diminish the reality of pain. He speaks plainly, you will weep and lament, you will be sorrowful. There is no pretense here, and there is no shallow optimism. Christianity does not ask us to deny suffering. Instead, it places suffering within a greater story. And to make that story vivid, Jesus offers an image both ordinary and profound, the image of childbirth. A woman endures intense pain, yet that pain is not meaningless. It gives way to joy, not because it was insignificant, but because something greater has come through it. The presence of the child transforms the memory of suffering. So it was for the disciples. Their grief as Christ's death would be overwhelmed by the joy of his risen presence. And so it will be for you and myself. One day we shall stand in the presence of Christ, and when we do, every sorrow, every tear, and every loss will be seen in a new and glorious light. And so, dear friends, as we draw this together, we come again to the table. Because this is not just any table, it is the Lord's table. And here, the whole story we have been speaking about becomes something we can see, touch, and receive. When we come to Holy Communion, we are reminded first of something very honest, our sin. The broken bread and the poured out cup tell us that something in this world and something in us has gone deeply wrong. They remind us that Christ suffered, that he truly died, that sorrow was real and costly. But they do not leave us there. For this same table also proclaims something far greater, that Christ has taken our sin away, that what we could not carry, he has carried. What we could not heal, he has healed. What we could not overcome, he has overcome through his cross and resurrection. And so as we come, we do not come in despair, we come in hope. We come remembering that God is not finished with us yet. We come trusting his promise that he will wipe away every tear, that sorrow will not have the last word, that even now he holds us in his hands and gathers us under the shadow of his wings. And if we need a picture of that hope in the midst of deep suffering, we need only turn to the story of the book of Job, especially in Job 14. Job knew what it was to live in the little while. He speaks of life as short, fragile, and full of trouble. He wrestles with loss, with grief, with questions that seem to have no answer. And yet even there, a flicker of hope appears. He asks, if someone dies, will they live again? And then he says something remarkable. All the days of my life, my heart service, I will wait till my renewal comes. You will call and I will answer you. You will long for the work of your hands. Do you hear it? In the midst of sorrow, Job dares to believe that God will not forget him, that God will call him again, that death is not the end. Job does not see the full picture, but he trusts the God who holds it. And we, standing on this side of the resurrection, see more clearly what Job could only glimpse. In Jesus Christ, that hope has taken flesh. God does call, and the dead do rise. God does remember, and he restores the work of his hands. So whatever you bring with you this morning, whether it is doubt or faith, grief or gratitude, weariness or quiet hope, bring it to the table. And remember the words of the psalmist, weeping may tarry or endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. For some of you, it still feels like night. The questions remain, the sorrow lingers. The answers are not yet clear, but morning is coming. Because Christ is risen, because God is faithful, because his promises do not fail. So come to the table, come with your tears, come with your questions, come with your hope, however small it may feel. And as you receive the bread and the cup, remember, your sin is forgiven, your life is held, your sorrow is not the end. For in Christ, even now, joy is on its way. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word and its promise of joy after sorrow. Strengthen our faith, comfort our hearts, and help us trust you in all things. As we come to your table, remind us that our sins are forgiven and our hope is secure in Christ. Amen. We sing our next hymn, 419, Thine Be the Glory.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, all that we have comes from you, and of your own we offer you ourselves and our gifts. Receive what we bring, these offerings of money and service, and the quiet offering of our lives. Take what we have done well and what we have failed to do, and in your mercy, shape it for your purpose. Use us and all we offer to serve your kingdom, to bring light where there is darkness, hope where there is need, and love where it is lacking. And as we come to this table, set apart this bread and this wine from a common use to a holy purpose by your Holy Spirit. Make them for us a sharing in the body and blood of Christ, that we may be nourished in faith, renewed in hope, and strengthened in love. Unite us with Christ and with one another, and send us out into the world to live and serve as his people until your joy is made complete in us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Ye gates, lift up your heads on high. It's hymn number 19 as we prepare for Holy Communion. Please be seated. Dearly beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have desired to receive God's grace and love in the communion of the Lord's table. Many as we are one body. Therefore, acknowledge each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Christ says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." And also with you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we gather at this table because it was given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. On the night before he died, he shared a meal with his disciples and commanded them to remember him in the breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup. And as our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread and wine, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart to the holy use and mystery to which he has appointed them. And as he blessed these holy things and gave thanks, let us come near to God and present to him our prayers and our thanksgiving. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your love made known to us in Jesus Christ. In him you have entered our broken world, shed our life, and bore our sin that we might share in his life. In his death and rising again, you have given us hope beyond sorrow and life that cannot be taken away. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, that this bread and this cup may be for us a sharing in the body and blood of Christ. Unite us with him and with one another, and make us new in his love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had blessed and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. My body, which is broken for you, do this in memory of me." In the same way also, when supper was ended, he took the chalice. And when he had blessed and given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you. My blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Your death, O Christ, we proclaim. Your resurrection we announce. Your coming we await. Amen. Happy are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come now with faith and repentant hearts to the table which the Lord has prepared for us. Take and eat of his bread of life and drink of his cup of salvation with thanksgiving. Just hold on to your bread, please. I will issue a command and then we will eat together. Thank you. Eat the body of Christ broken for us on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Drink, all of you, the blood of Christ, Emmanuel, shed for us on the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins. Let us pray. Gracious and compassionate God, we come before you as your people with our joys and our sorrows, our faith and our questions. We thank you for this communion, and we thank you for the blessings with which you've blessed us. And now, Lord, we pray for your church here in Newport on Tay and throughout the world. In times of confusion, give clarity. In times of discouragement, give hope. Strengthen your people to trust you in the little while and to hold fast to the promise that sorrow will turn into joy. We pray for our world, a world that often rejoices in what is fleeting and struggles under the weight of suffering and uncertainty. Bring peace where there is conflict, justice where there is oppression, and hope where there is despair. We pray for those who are suffering today, those who are ill, grieving lonely, or burdened with sorrow, for those who feel that the night is long and the morning far away. Be near to them, O God. Comfort them with your presence and assure them that their sorrow will not have the final word. We remember those who struggle with doubt, those who find it hard to believe, who wrestle with questions about life, death, and what lies beyond. Like Job in the book of Job, they ask, if someone dies, will they live again? Meet them gently, Lord. Give them patience to wait and faith to trust that you will call and we will answer. We pray for those who mourn loved ones, for all who long to see again those who have gone before them. Hold them in your tender care. Give them the hope of the resurrection and the assurance that nothing is lost to you. We pray for families, for young and old, for those beginning their journey and those nearing its close. In every season of life, help us to find our joy not in fragile things, but in the living hope we have in Christ. And as we end this service, we pray, O God, you will remind us that Christ has carried our sin, that he holds our lives, and that even now, joy is on its way. We offer all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who died, who rose, and who will come again. Amen. We sing our final hymn, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done. It is hymn number 512. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.